Going to read some scripture, James 3:3 through 18. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting it on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. That if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Good morning, Cornerstone Church. Before we jump back into that passage, we've got a few fun things to announce this morning. We've got a minion here later today. This is our Minions Day. We've got a guy in a professional, trained, costume-wearing professional who's going to come in and dress in a minion. We don't know if it's going to be one or two eyes yet, but he's going to come later on, and he's going to be with the kids for the last 10 minutes or so. And then parents, if you want to go grab your kids right after the service and go with your kids to play hide and go seek. We don't want to lose any kids, so make sure you're staying with your kids. But the minion will be hiding out in the cafeteria area, the locker area. I think he's allowed to come in here to the auditorium and then back into the media center. So we got some of the major areas. And then when you find him, you'll get to take your picture with him. So we've got that going on today. Later on, I can't wait for that. Also, we got something more, a little more important. Can we get the next slide up? Next slide, please. We have a Pursuit Community Church is launching over in Maple Moundsview today. And we've been praying for this church, we've been supporting this church, and I can't believe that it's here. And so hopefully later on, Mark Allen, the pastor, he's going to take a picture or two of what's going on, and he's going to send that to us. And so hopefully we'll have a picture of what's going on later. But let's just take a moment right now, and let's continue to pray for this church, that God would bless their service. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to bless the world with a new church, Lord. And I thank you for the money that our congregation has given, which we've been able to use to launch this church. I thank you so much for the people who have gone as well to support it. God, we pray that you would do an amazing thing through this church. And God, we specifically pray for today. Today is such an important day for this church. I pray that people will come, that there'd be a buzz and an energy, and that your spirit would be there, and people would be thirsty for you, and that people would come back because they want to know more of you and have more of you in their lives. So Lord, we lift all those things up to you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And so going back to James chapter 3, we're talking about communication today, and specifically communication in marriage. Marriages can be humbling, they can be difficult, they can be frustrating, marriages can be a mess, but God knows they're a mess worth making. Like, God knows all of this, and marriage is still his plan. And I know a lot of us are struggling in our marriage. I mean, if you're struggling in marriage today, you're not alone. Everybody around you has got issues as well. I've got a funny saying, don't take it too seriously, but I've got a funny saying that I've been repeating. It's that every marriage is worthy of divorce. And that is literally true in the sense that if you focus on the sin in a marriage, There's enough sin in every marriage. If you focus on that sin, it'll drive you apart. And so we need to be focusing on God and the gospel of Jesus Christ in our marriage. And a lot of times we get to a point in marriage where we just say, like, I just need freedom. I just need relief from the conflict, from the argument, from the, you know, whatever it is. And we get in that pattern of thinking that the only way for me to be happy right now is if I just get free of this. And sometimes people do need to separate for a time before they can come back together. But God's plan for marriage is so much better than just leaving your problems. If you're here today and you're thinking that, like, I just need to get out, I want you to reimagine freedom. Reimagine freedom a different way. Reimagine freedom as two people who've submitted their hearts to God and are free from their problems, not because they've run from them, but because they've overcome them. That's God's plan for marriage. That makes marriage worth it. Marriage includes commitment, because that right there, the benefits of that far exceed any other way of finding freedom in that relationship. The benefits of two people submitting their hearts to Christ and growing to overcome their problems is God's plan. You may be thinking it's difficult, it's hard. And if you need any help, I'd love to talk with you about that. I know a great marriage counselor, one of my good friends, and there's always ways to move forward. And if you're struggling with that, you know, imagining freedom any other way, I'd encourage you today, as we're going through God's word, to reimagine freedom a different way. And if you're single as well here today, I want you to just take this God's word here today, it'll apply to all of your relationships as well. And today we're going to apply God's word about communication to our marriage. In the sermon series, we're looking at some of the things that every relationship has to overcome in order to succeed and to follow God. Last week, we talked about our finances. This week, we're going to talk about our communication. And 10 years ago, when Sarah and I met, we'd go on a date. We'd go off campus to our favorite little restaurants called Bo Diddley's in St. Cloud. And we'd get soup and sandwich, and we'd stare into each other's eyes. And we'd just talk and talk. And it was just wonderful. It was just so much fun. And now I get a babysitter and we go on a date and I sit down at the table and I go, baby, there's nobody I'd rather sit here and stare at my phone with than you. And communication is difficult for everybody and definitely changes over time as well. Sarah and I have been married 10 years and now we hardly ever talk about anything fun anymore. When we first started dating, it was all about what fun things we're going to do, what fun people do we know, what fun stories do we have. Now it's mostly about business, the business of running a home and raising kids. And it makes life a whole lot different. Communication is difficult. Now, 10 years in, we've got all these patterns of behavior. So all of a sudden we fall into one of those patterns again and we basically just start the argument with, "You always!" To which the other person replies, "Oh yeah, well, you always." And that never goes well. Those "you always" conversations, they're usually the worst. And negative patterns of behavior, of communication, that can suck all the joy, all the fun, all the romance out of a marriage. So it's really important to overcome our problems in communication. Today we're going to look at James. We're going to apply what that says to our marriage. And what James begins talking about here, I'll tell you what, when I go like this, I'll go like this. There you go. Oh, it's working now. Okay, great. Well, anyway, James starts talking about the tongue and what a powerful force it is. He says, the tongue is like a bridle in a horse. He says it's like a rudder on a ship. We have a trailer that we pull to church every week. We're a mobile church, obviously. We meet in high school. I just love meeting here. But it does require a fair amount of setup on Sunday mornings. You see those big things right there? They go in the trailer. Those signs go in the trailer. A lot of our stuff go in this trailer that we pull back and forth. And we need a certain amount of power to get that trailer to the church. It needs like 250 horsepower. I don't think you can do it in a half-ton truck, or you wouldn't want to. You need like a three-quarter ton or a full-ton truck to pull that thing. 250 horsepower. Do you know why they measure the truck's power in horses? It doesn't take 250 rabbit power. It doesn't take 250 squirrel power. It takes 250 horsepower. And why is that? It's because horses are powerful. I mean, when James is riding, they're the most powerful thing they had. The horse. Horsepower. And that big, powerful horse. Have you seen those horses' muscles when they run out there? I mean, man, those things must be doing like CrossFit or something out there. Those horses are beasts. And you can change. I got a nephew who loves riding horses. Loves riding horses. Ever since he was little, he was riding horses. You don't have to be big to ride a horse. Because that bit in the horse's mouth. And you just take that. It doesn't take a powerful person, because you got a bit in the horse's mouth, you just turn it ever so slightly back and forth, and that big, powerful animal changes course completely. I took my 4-year-old son and my 3-year-old daughter to ECFE, I think that's what early childhood something education, and they got all these toys there, they got all these pirate ships. And we're playing with the pirate ships, and this big old pirate ship, it's sweet, it's got like 3 levels, and you know, way better than the toys we got at home, having a great time. And my son points to the back, he says, "What's that little thing on the back there? What's that little piece of plastic?" And I said, "That's the rudder." He says, "What does it do?" I said, "That steers the ship." He goes, "That little thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, it steers the whole ship. That little tiny piece steers this whole big ship." And this big giant vessel, the entire course of its destiny is changed by that one little deal. And when you think about what changes the course of your life, I mean, what comes to mind? It's like, well, the college I chose, or going back to school. It's going, moving states to start that new job. There's a lot of things that, big things that we know change the course of our life. It's who we chose to marry. It's a health problem. It's a cancer diagnosis that we didn't see coming. Like, those are usually the things that we think change the course of our lives. And here James is actually trying to point us to something else which can change the entire course of our lives, which is totally within our control. Our tongues. James, like, your tongue is so powerful, it can, just like it changes the course of that ship or that horse, the entire course of your life can be changed with how you use your tongue. And the Bible wants us to know that our words matter. What we say matters in life. It matters in life to the point that what you say will change the course of your life and will certainly change the course of your marriage. The tongue can change the course of our lives and marriages. What course is our tongue setting? And why is that tongue so powerful? Is because the tongue controls our communication. And as we sit there and think about how we communicate, how we're using our tongue, and think about how our words matter, we need to be thinking about how we're using that tongue to change the course of our lives and our marriages. What are we saying to our spouse? Do we come home from work every day and just dump a bunch of ugh on our spouse? Are we following them around the house, pointing out all the things they could be doing better? Are you really going to wear that today? There's a lot of things that we can say in our relationships which will tear our spouse down over time, but there's also a lot of things that we can say to build our spouse up, to build our marriage up, and to grow closer to our spouse. And how are you using your tongue? As we're thinking about that, it's important to know our communication styles. Because if you know your communication styles, if you know your personality traits, and you reflect on what you're doing, you can see the positives of what you're doing and the negatives of what you're doing and who God has made you to be. Everybody's got a different communication style, and they're all good, but there's also a sinful side, a sin, you know, sin in our hearts, which take that personality trait and can turn into a negative thing. And so it's important to know what your personality trait and what you're bringing with your communication style, and then how to watch the way you talk to your spouse as well. There's a lot of people who, when they communicate, they just want to land the plane. They're all about the destination. What's the point? What's the bottom line? Get to the point. And they just want to quickly and accurately convey the important information so that everybody's clear. There's other people whose communication style is they just want to enjoy the ride. It's not even so much. When they talk, it's not even so much about communicating an important idea or something. They just want to be in a relationship with you. And that journey of the conversation, where it ends, isn't even the real deal. They just want to be with the other person and communicating. There's people who, they want you to know what they're to communicate so that you feel the emotions that they do. They want you to understand what they're feeling. It's not so much about the information. It's that you know where they're at and what's going on in their hearts. There's other people who are like, "I want just the facts. Get all those emotions out of it. All those emotions cloud what's actually going on. Let's just talk about the facts of the situation." There's people who think out loud. They start talking, and you know, you're at dinner, and they start talking, and when they begin talking, they're ordering chicken, but by the end, they order a hamburger, because they process everything, and they go on that journey out loud rather than inside. And what communication style are you? Maybe you're a just-the-facts person, or a land-the-plane person, and your spouse is feeling that there's a relational disconnection there, because they're more of a enjoy-the-ride, or share-your-feelings type of communicator. Maybe you're a share-your-feelings type of communicator, but you have trouble separating those feelings that you have for other things from your feelings from your spouse. You come home, and you're telling them about work. Oh, this customer came, and he was saying this and that. And I said, look, Buster, you come back in here again without that warranty. And, hey, honey, are you listening to me? I'm pouring my heart out here. You have a hard time separating those emotions from your work day, from your spouse. Maybe your spouse is that share your feelings kind of communicator, and you're uncomfortable with feelings, and when you respond, it's not out of understanding, or it's not like a relational response. It's you're uncomfortable with feelings, so it's shut them down. Hang on, honey. Nobody needs to know. No. It's important to know how we're communicating what we're doing to our spouse. Maybe you're a think out loud person. You're just leading your spouse on an emotional roller coaster all the time. It snows early on in November, and you walk in after shoveling and say, that's it, we're moving to Florida. Your spouse, but what, all our friends are here? Or you come home and after bringing the car to the shop, that's it, we're buying a new car. I can't take it anymore. But what about the other bills? We're never going to be able to afford a car. It's a bad day at work. I'm quitting my job. Well, what am I going to do for money? Maybe you're leading your poor spouse on an emotional roller coaster every day. It's important to know what kind of communication style we are. And last week, I told you to go home and download an app and do your budget with your spouse. This week, I want you to do something different. I want you to reflect on your day every day before you go to bed. Every day before you get in bed, reflect on what you said and how you said it to your spouse. And then, I want you to have nightly devotions. And the next night, talk about the communication that you had. One of the most important things about nightly devotions is there a time set aside where important things come up. And if you get in that habit of having regular devotions and you pray before it and you're focusing on God during it, I mean, those conversations go way better than when you try to address it during the day. And what happens when we usually start fights is because something happens and we respond immediately. Last week we talked about how most of our fights about money come from after the saver checks the computer and checks the bank account. Then they come upstairs and like, our money's gone and it's your fault, right? That's always the worst time to talk about our things. Having nightly devotions is one of the most important things about a marriage because you're going to actually talk about things before they even come up. You're going to read some of these Bible verses that we just read today and you're going to talk about it long before the communication issue has gotten you to a boiling point. And if you know that you have that nightly devotions times, it's a lot easier not to ambush your spouse with your fears, anxieties, worries, or frustrations during the day because you're like, I know we're going to have that time later. And so this week, I want you to think about your communication. I want you to let God speak to you about your communication. And I want you to let your spouse speak to you about it as well. And they're going to be able to speak into that. And some of it might be hard to hear. But it's important for us to have those conversations. You need to give your spouse some time and space to say, you know, look, honey, there's a reason why I can't remember what you say when you're talking to me during the day. Like, mom's health problems are just, I can't think about anything else. So I'm sorry, I can't remember what you're talking. I'm doing the dishes, and you ask me, I don't even hear you, because I just can't stop thinking about, you know, my mom. Or maybe your spouse can say, look, honey, I know that work is hard, but, you know, I just can't, every day you come home, I just can't go through, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of just listening to all these things. Like, we need to think of something else. This is unhealthy for me to be your dumping ground every day. I want you to have those conversations, and I want you to be listening to what your spouse is saying and listening to what God is saying to you about ways that you can change the course of your marriage using your tongue. Answer these questions during this week as well as you talk with each other. What is my communication style, and what is my spouse's communication style? James says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of difficulty that the tongue can bring into a marriage, into a relationship. It's so hard to tame the tongue. Every beast, he said, you can domesticate any animal. Nobody can fully control their tongue. It's full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and we curse people who are made in his image. From the same mouth comes these blessings and cursings. James sits there and talks about all the different ways we can use our tongue, and how hard it is to control our tongue. We need to watch what we say to our spouse, because we can never take it back. Now, you can heal. You can go through a long and difficult process of forgiveness and healing and reconciliation. But you can never take what you say back. And therefore, it's incredibly important to control our tongues from the outset. There's verse after verse in the Bible talking about the importance of controlling our tongue. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. There's probably a lot of ways you can apply this verse to secrets in your life that no one else should know, the things in your heart that just shouldn't be coming out, the things to our spouse that we should say that they should just never have to hear. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. If you've read Sarah and I, we get into arguments. We get into arguments. There's a lot of things that I've said where I didn't guard my mouth, and my life was in danger. But seriously, though, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. How many times you get in an argument? Like, you go, I don't know if you're like me, but I go in arguments like saying, like, I cannot say this thing. I cannot say this thing. I cannot say this thing. And then you get to a point where it's heated. Bam! There it goes. It came out. There's a lot of wisdom in restraining our mouth and our words and our tongue. And the Bible talks extensively about the foolishness of not doing so. James 1, verse 19, in the same book of reading, says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." And are you guarding that tongue, or is it setting your house on fire? And there's a lot of different ways that we communicate in our relationships. We use our tongues. Sometimes we get really animated. We speak with our hands. But the most important way that we communicate in our lives is with our heart. That's where all of it's coming from. That's where all of it's coming from. That's what your spouse really cares about. That's why marriage is so difficult. Because it's the closest relationship that you'll ever have. And in that relationship, all these parts of your heart, some of them really good, come out in that relationship that would never come out in any other relationship. And then some of them really bad. And that's what makes communication in marriage so difficult. Because this is someone who you've opened up your lives to, you're so vulnerable to. And then you find out there's this black, nasty part in their heart and this black, nasty part in yours. There's a lot of different things we use to communicate, but the most important thing is the heart. You see, communication is actually never the problem. That's the interesting thing about this. Like, you can talk all day about how you communicate, but it's never the problem. My friend who's a marriage counselor, he goes, "Jeremy, you wouldn't believe how many incredibly articulate, good listeners there are who are just terrible to be married to." How often do you really communicate well when it's in an argument? Well, then you make sure to really nail down that point and make it clear. Communication could be a problem, but it's never the problem. Really, the problem is a sin in our hearts. Luke chapter 6, 45 says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." And of course, in each one of us, there's a little bit of both. And it's when the sinful part of our heart starts speaking that that little tongue, that little rudder, changes the course of our marriage and our lives for the worse. And how many of us have even communicated the right thing? You say the right words with the wrong heart. Have you ever done that before? My favorite is this. "I'm sorry." You didn't apologize at all. You just communicated how angry you still are. How upset you still are. There's a great list of, Proverbs 15:1, actually. Let's go there. When we communicate out of our hearts, there's no substitute. When you're talking about, like, how do we improve the communication in our marriage? How do we improve our marriage? There's no substitute for a heart that wants their spouse and wants to reconcile and come together. Proverbs 51, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." When those harsh words come from the sinful parts of our heart, they just continue to light that fire in our house. And there's no substitute for a communication than a heart that loves God and loves the other person. And is communicating not to win, not to get one up on the other person, but to come together. Proverbs 15:4 says, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." And we hold so much power over our spouse because of that close relationship that we have with them. And the things that we say genuinely matter. And when we speak positively, I mean, forget about just our marriages. Like, we're pretty messed up people from the time we even get into our marriages, right? We've spent this entire time being ruined by the sin of our family. We have all these fears and anxieties, and we get into a marriage with all that baggage, And your spouse's tongue can be so healing over what you've experienced in your life up to that point. Or it can be just another thing that causes pain and hurt and scars. Good marriages, they're not built on a list of well-followed communication rules. I do premarital counseling. I use this great tool. I have a picture of it here somewhere. We'll get back to that. There it is. This is a great tool. Prepare and Rich, about ways that we can communicate with our spouse so that our communication goes well. Great things like give your full attention to your partner when you're talking. Focus on the good qualities in each other and praise each other often. Be assertive, avoid criticism, balance criticism with positive comments, listen to understand, not judge, use active listening, avoid blaming each other, use the 10 steps approach, seek counseling. All these things are great, but like good communication and good marriages are not actually founded on people who just closely follow a list of rules. Good marriages are built on people who have good hearts. Does anybody ever use those lists anyway when you talk about them? But how many times in an argument do you sit down and say, all right, honey, we need to get the 10 steps. Where are the 10 steps? Where are the conflict? Anybody seen our 10 steps? Even when Sarah tries, I don't know about you guys, but even if Sarah tries to follow the 10 steps, usually like I'm not with her. She's like, okay, honey, let's just sit down and talk about this. And I'm like, I'm standing now. Point for Jeremy. I'm winning this thing. Like, whoever uses those anyway. Like, there's no substitute for a good heart. And with a person who is speaking out of sin in our heart, there's no way, whether that's us or a spouse, there's just no way we're reconciling that situation. When we or our spouse are speaking out of that sin, there's just no way we're coming together. But when you switch and you start flip-flop and all of a sudden the love in your heart, then there's nothing that can keep you from coming up together. That's how powerful that tongue can be, as that heart comes through it. When you're arguing with your spouse, if you're committed to being defensive or jealous or selfish, the problem is not our tongue, it's our sin. It's a demand to have life the way we want it on our terms. And when we're operating out of that, then there's no way we're coming together. And when we love each other, there's no way we're coming together. And when we love each other, there's just no way we're going apart. It's interesting, if you take a look at two ships, and if their rudders are slightly off, just even slightly, over time, they're incredibly far apart. But if you just turn those rudders together, they're coming together. They're coming together fast. And that can be us in our marriages. When James transitions from the foolishness and the flames of using our tongue the wrong way in the beginning of these verses, and at the end, he kind of switches topics a little bit here. We're talking much more than just about our communication, but it essentially switches from foolish communication to wise and good conduct. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom which comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And there really is a battle between good and evil going on in this world. And when we talk about our communication as just a small picture of the overall battle between good and evil that is going on all around us every day. And God's got way bigger plans for us in our marriage than just for us to communicate clearly and well and thoughtfully and lovingly. Like, God's got a plan for our families. He's got a plan for our children. He's got a plan for our careers. He's got a plan for our churches. He's got a plan for our neighborhoods. And all of those things are affected by our marriages. And when you look at the spiritual battle that goes on, I think you can see it almost no stronger than in your relationships that are closest to you, especially your marriage. Because God's got plans for you at work. And you can't fulfill those if you're half asleep, tired because you couldn't sleep, because you're so worried about what's going on in your relationship. God's got plans for you to parent your children or to uplift someone who needs it. And you won't be able to do that if you're just focused on all of the conflict at home. God's got plans for Cornerstone Church. God has got plans for us right here. We're doing amazing things. Like, we just planted a church in Moundsview. And Satan doesn't like that. And we should be aware of what he's going to do. He's going to try to separate people in our church from each other. He's going to try to separate you from your spouse. He doesn't want us to do any more of this. So we need to know how God is going to come against us as people and as a church. And we need to make sure that if we're going to accomplish God's plan for our lives, the first thing we need to do is have God's heart for our spouse. Make sure that when we're at home, we're speaking with wisdom. So the outcome is different. There's no fire, there's peace. Can we get the next slide up? He says, for where jealous and But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Doesn't that sound good? Like, when you've got that speaking of sin, there's no reason, like with Sarah and I, there's just no reasoning with us when they're in that argument. We have got to step back. We've got to change our hearts first. And then all of a sudden, like, we're different people. All that reason comes out, and enters all this peace rather than the fire. And how are you using your tongue? Are you a flamethrower, or are you a fire hose? And if you think about all the conflict in marriage, maybe you feel like your marriage is characterized by conflict. I want you to start reimagining your marriage and the difference that you can make. God has given you the power to change this marriage. And that same tongue which has ignited all that conflict, instead it can be used for peace. Maybe the times where you've withheld your tongue because you're angry at your spouse, you're taking it out on them by avoiding them, ignoring them, all of a sudden, well, that tongue can be used in a completely different way. It can be used to connect with your spouse and to build that relationship stronger. Maybe instead of venting or dumping about what's going on in your life and your spouse, you can use that tongue instead to ask them questions and think about how you can lift them up. Instead of that using of the tongue to point out all the things that you'd like your spouse to do better, instead you can use that tongue to point out all the things that they're doing really well and the way they're blessing you. Instead of using that tongue to win arguments, instead we can use that tongue to bring about a reasonable resolution of the situation. And think this week about how God is speaking to you, about how you can use your communication to change the course of your marriage. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word this morning. God, we pray for our marriages, Lord. We pray for forgiveness for every time that we have flamed our spouse. And our marriages teach us that no matter how hard we try, we can't be perfect. No matter how hard we try, there's sin in our hearts. And God, I thank you so much that your plan of salvation includes us not being perfect, but us being forgiven and saved by Jesus Christ. Because one's possible and one's not. If your plan of salvation is for us to repent of our sins and be saved, then anybody can be saved. But if your plan is for us to be saved because we're perfect, then there's not a single one of us that's going to make it. And so, God, I thank you for your mercy and that your plan includes your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to die on the cross for our sins, so that no matter who we are, what we've done, God, that we can know that we are made right with you and saved. As we go through our life trying to follow you and we experience the difficulty of being a sinful Christian, that same mouth that comes on Sunday mornings and praises you, says nasty things throughout the week, and then sometimes we think about how we can't even come back in your presence next week because of what we've done. God, I pray that you would bless us with the knowledge of your forgiveness and your grace. And God, we pray that you bless us with your Holy Spirit, that we would not be discouraged at our sin, God, but encouraged by your Spirit, that we can continue to grow towards you. We continue to make strides in improving and being a blessing to others rather than a curse. God, I pray for our marriages right now as we think about ways that we can change our lives and our relationship with our spouse. God, help us understand our communication style. Lord, give us wisdom that we can know when not to talk, that when we speak, it can be out of the love in our hearts and not the sin. God, I pray for the marriages in our church that you'd bless us, that we can overcome the difficulties that we've faced, that we can be free from them, not because we've run from our problems, but because we've both turned to you. And God, I pray that as we think about our relationships, as we work on our relationships, that everybody here in this room in 2 weeks, in 2 months, in 2 years could say, God, what a wonderful thing you've done in our marriage. Now look at all the other things that you've done in our lives because we focused on you, Lord. God, I pray that you bless us, that through our marriages we could accomplish your plans for us, not just in our families, not just through our children, but in our neighborhoods, in our careers, in our churches, on our teams. God, I pray that you help us to change the world God, I pray that you'd help us to start that right at home this week as we reflect on how we should be talking to our spouse to follow you. Lord, we lift all those things up as well as the gifts we're about to receive, that you bless them, that they can go to accomplish your will. God, we pray that you bless us with gifts that are so great that we can start planning about planting another church in Blaine in a few years. Lord, we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. At this time, our ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to collect our offering. If you're a guest here, we ask you not to put any money in the basket. Our regular members and attenders do a great job of providing for the ministries here at Cornerstone Church of Blaine. If you are a guest, though, we'd love for you to know about all the things that are going on at church. We communicate primarily through three ways, the bulletin, email, and Facebook. I'd love for you to put your name on that card, put your email address, go home and put in the basket as a pass, go home and friend us on Facebook and find out about all the great things that God is doing here in ways you connect. And after the basket's passed, please stand and join us in worship.